Earlier today in Geneva, the head of the World Trade Organization, Pascal Lamy, suspended international trade talks and put the Doha round of negotiations on hold indefinitely. It could take months or even years for the talks to resume. The collapse is seen as bad news, but not exactly unexpected. If you have questions about the collapse of the WTO talks or what it means, give us a call. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email us, talk@npr.org. And we turn to Adam Davidson, NPR's international business correspondent, who's with us from our bureau in New York. Nice to have you on the program today, Adam.
Thanks, Neil. Good to be here.
So why did these talks fail?
Well, they've been failing for a very long time. I got in the habit last year of calling the Doha round of WTO talks like a drunk walking down the street. And, you know, any little can or brick or anything in the road is about to knock them down. Basically, the talks were supposed to give benefits to the poor countries of the world, the developing economies like Brazil and India, mm-hmm. and they were supposed to give benefits to the first world, to the U.S., to Europe, to Japan. And neither side was willing to give in before they got their benefits. And so neither side got their benefits. Neither side gave in. And it's been a slow and painful thing to watch for the last few years. They were supposed to be wrapped up in 2004. Finally, today, they decided to throw in the towel, at least for now.
At least for now. And the issue, is, as I understand it, or at least one of the issues, a big one, agricultural subsidies. This was supposed to reduce tariffs to allow countries, as you mentioned, in Africa, Brazil, India, to export agricultural products more freely to the rest of the world.
Right. The poorest countries in the world have a disproportionate amount of their population in agriculture. And they have argued for a long time that the U.S. and Europe and Japan and South Korea, a variety of northern countries, as they're called, mm-hmm. are hurting those poor countries. Basically, if you're a cotton farmer in Africa or a wheat farmer in Brazil, it's very hard for you to export your product to the U.S. or to Europe, both because of the subsidies that farmers in the U.S. and Europe get and because of the import restrictions. The U.S. and Europe would be willing to give up subsidies and import restrictions, at least some of them, if the U.S. and Europe could show their citizens that they get a big benefit. Mm-hmm. What the U.S. and Europe wanted was for those poor countries to allow American and European manufacturers, service providers, banks, law firms, things like that, to offer services and to sell manufactured goods. So basically, you know, Maytag or General Electric or whatever wanted to be able to sell our high quality products to the poor countries. Mm-hmm. The poor countries wanted to be able to sell their agricultural goods.
Yet at the same time, farmers in this country wanted to keep their sugar and wheat subsidies, and manufacturers in Africa wanted to be protected from rapacious competition from the United States and Europe.
Exactly. It's only a slight overstatement to say that basically what has happened is a small number of special interests in the developed and developing world have basically won. And, you know, what most economists would say, the massive benefit that would have gone to many, many people all over the world is not going to happen now because those small groups of people were able to protect their interests.
We're talking with NPR correspondent Adam Davidson about the collapse of the WTO talks, the Doha round, it was called. That's where they started in Doha, the emirate on the Persian Gulf. They collapsed, however, in Geneva, in Switzerland. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email us, talk@npr.org. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And blame for the collapse of the talks, Adam, blame seems to be, well, just about everybody's to blame except for whoever's talking.
Yeah, I mean, the blame, this is what is really amazing. It has just completely, the talks have fallen apart and have fallen to this massive blame game. Europe is saying it's all the U.S.'s fault. Brazil and India are saying it's all the U.S. and Europe's fault. Australia has sided with the U.S. against Europe. Japan is blaming sort of everybody. And, you know, there's plenty of blame going south as well, going to Brazil, going to India, going to some African countries, particularly South Africa. It's obviously when major diplomatic negotiations fall into a situation where leading diplomats are just doing all but cursing at each other, it's not a very optimistic sign.
Email question, this from Chris Crowder. I would love to hear your views on how the breakdown of these talks will affect the ongoing campaign to end poverty in Africa, specifically if if this will affect any portion of the debt relief program.
This has no direct relationship to the debt relief program, but what has a major shift that has happened in people who are advocates of Africa and hoping to bring Africa up, Bono of U2 is a major proponent of this, is the idea that trade will bring far more benefit than direct aid or debt relief. That, you know, for the last 50 years or so, developed economies have been pouring money into Africa to very little effect. And so if you want the poor people in Africa who tend to be farmers to live better lives, to have less child mortality, less AIDS, less disease, then what you want is for them to have economic activities that bring wealth to themselves. Basically, you want them to be able to sell their cotton and other agricultural mm-hmm. goods to Europeans. And this ends that. I think that the people who will suffer the most from the at least now collapse of these talks are African farmers.
Let's get Patrick on the line. Patrick's calling us from Wichita. Is that right, in Kansas?
Yes. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks. Go ahead.
Well, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about some of the small interest groups that have benefited from the collapse of these talks.
The special interests that Adam was talking about?
Yes.
Which special interests benefited from the collapse of the talks, Adam?
Well, the people who benefit directly, in the U.S., a lot of agricultural interests, particularly sugar, wheat, peanuts, cotton, they get a lot of government subsidies right now. And obviously, people like receiving government subsidies. You like getting money for free. So they benefit a lot. I'd say the general consensus seems to be that European farmers benefit even more than U.S. farmers because the European farmers get subsidies and they get massive import restrictions. They're the ones who benefit. Now, in the developing world, the people who benefit very often, there will be some really lousy bank. I mean, if you've been in the developing world, you know that when you go into a bank, it's nothing like walking into a Citibank or Bank of America here. There aren't ATM machines. There's not really a good transparent system for lending, things like that. And typically in many developing countries, I think it's safe to say most developing countries, those big banks, the big law firms, the big insurance companies have close ties to the leadership. There's an awful lot of corruption and cronyism and nepotism. And those are the people who do not want these talks to succeed because it means Citibank and Bank of America and big developed economy banks will come in, compete with them. Those banks only exist because they're protected, and those banks will go out of business. Now, the average.
Hello, Adam? And apparently we've had some drop in the connection between the mothership here, NPR headquarters in Washington, and our bureau in New York. Last time I heard about it was still a fiber optic connection, so this is not the satellite dropping, but there's scheduling problems sometimes upstairs in the switcher.
I'm here now, Neil. Can you hear
there,
me?
There you go. I was just tapping, tap dancing until you got back. Go ahead.
Hi, you can hear me?
Yes.
Okay. But again, people in Africa, Brazil, and India, the average person, not the plutocrat who owns a bank, is going to be hurt by this. They want access to good banking systems. The same goes for legal systems. Mm-hmm. You know, also people who make washing machines, people who make machine tools, that sort of thing, in poor countries. They don't make them as well as we do, so it costs more money. They don't want to have to compete with our manufactured goods. So it's, you know, northern U.S. European farmers and developing economy, big industrialists and service providers who benefit from the collapse of these talks.
Patrick, thanks very much for the call. And Adam, just a few seconds before we go, but months, maybe years before talks start again, what would be the impetus to start the talks again?
Well, here's the real issue. President Bush has something called Fast Track Trade Promotion Authority. That expires in July 1st, 2007. Without that, there's really no way for these talks to get through the U.S. Congress. That allows Bush to get things through much more easily. So I don't see these talk succeeding without some kind of radical change.
Adam Davidson, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Adam Davidson, NPR's international business correspondent, with us from our bureau in New York, intermittently, but there. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.